Are you ready to take a voyage of discovery into everything a marketing leader needs for success? Well, join us as the good ship CMO Combo takes us into the unknown. And that unknown is the future, because Yahya Mohamed Mao, Head of Marketing and Business Development at Swiss GRC, is examining how VR and the metaverse could be the next leap forward for customer experiences. Hi Yahya, welcome to the CMO Combo. How are you doing today?
Hi Wall, thank you very much for having me. Pleasure and looking forward to speaking with you on a very interesting topic.
It's definitely a very interesting topic. It's one that I've been wanting to explore for a while on the show because it's one that it's coming up a lot in conversations between CMOs at the moment, talking about the metaverse, talking about AI applications, and particularly talking about how it works with customer experience. So very interested to dig into that topic with you today. But before we do get into that, Yahya, maybe you could introduce yourself to our audience and maybe tell us a bit about why you wanted to talk about this topic specifically today.
Firstly, well, I'm currently working as a head of business development and marketing at Swiss GRC. Swiss GRC, just to explain a bit, so we're a software and consulting company in an area which is very specific, which is called really governance, risk management, and compliance. But we also see the link to really the latest technologies because of the likes of risk management or governance and compliance topics are very very important these days, because we see a huge risk landscape that is coming in or even increasing. And yeah, that's pretty much my position. But then besides that, I'm also very engaged when it comes to startups, so where I do advise them, mentor them. And then, of course, something I'm passionate about is not just reading, but I also try to contribute by writing. So you might have then come across several articles that I published on the latest technologies. FinTech is something else I'm very passionate about, but also the link between FinTech and Metaverse, where we can say, hey, what kind of payments will we have in the Metaverse, and those kind of things. So in that, I think this is maybe then how I then I myself found and at a CMO Alliance, because we're actually the potential of being in touch with like-minded people. So it's not just about classic marketing, how can we market product, but what I'm really enjoying is, but also thanks to those CMO Converse, we really discuss latest technologies, and then I'm seeing there are many marketers out there who are not classic marketers anymore, but really tech marketers. This is something I found very, very interesting, and I'm passionate about it.
For sure. It's a very interesting time to be in the marketing world, because there is all these new channels, these new technologies evolving all the time. So I think people are quite aware of what AI is at this point in the audience, and people are very aware of what customer experience is. But let's maybe define what we mean by the metaverse when we're talking about this conversation, because it's a term that gets thrown around a lot. But let's define it so we know that we're all on the same page before we get into this conversation.
I think when you of course hear the metaverse, you would come across tons of articles where probably the title or the first sentence would be, this is the future of the internet. This is what they would tend to say. So would say it would be internet 3.0, 4.0, so whatever, really highlighting the potential of the metaverse. But interestingly, as it's also the case with many technologies these days, is the metaverse is not that new. So the ideas of the metaverse have existed somehow in the past, and it is now that maybe the time is right to really have the metaverse introduced into our daily lives. And this is maybe why we tend to speak these days very often about the metaverse. And I mean, metaverse, interestingly, is just a combination of two words. So when you hear metaverse is about this, the meta and the universe. So it's not just one universe, but you have the meta universe there. And then the idea of the metaverse, then from my understanding, would be then combining also several technologies. But this is what I also consider very important to think about when we discuss the metaverse. So within the metaverse, which we try to combine several technologies, so including virtual reality, virtual reality, augmented reality, and so within the metaverse, we would have a set of technologies being combined together, and this is maybe what makes the metaverse very very interesting these days, not only to investors but also those who would like to implement the metaverse in their daily lives. or in daily business. And customer experience is a topic where I myself see a very huge potential, because there's a lot of ways we can improve customer experience the way it is currently.
Definitely, definitely. And customer experience is going to be so important moving forwards, particularly with the way the economy is in a lot of areas right now. Retaining customers is going to be absolutely essential. And the best way to do that is to give a good customer experience. But what is a good customer experience right now? What are customers expecting from their interactions with brands?
So maybe we should define what customer experience is for us
Yeah,
generally.
sure. Yeah.
So customer experience, when the term customer itself is, when you hear of customer, especially in businesses, or you will think of a new customer. So customer get us customers is automatically get us new customers, because there's always the drive of generating revenue as soon as possible. But what we forget is that the customers we have are those that can also help us in growing, because they are what I call the low hanging fruit. Because with existing customers, there's a huge potential always to do so. So I see what all of the experience I made so far is, especially in the IT sector, is there's really lacking those automated processes where you already know how to deal with a current customer, and how also to grow your business with this customer. Because we tend to believe we want a customer, so that's fine. So getting the customer, doing the project with the customer, realizing it, and once for example the software is implemented for us, then we would tend to say, okay, the project is done. But I would say it is at this moment that the whole customer relationship starts then. So how can you keep a customer? So what I'm seeing also is, when you're a customer, I'm really I tend to speak from the sector I work in, which is then of course the information technology sector. But we I would say we make the mistake of considering the customers we have as somewhat given, saying, okay, thank you're with us, and then as long as the customer doesn't complain, so we might expect that the customer is happy with us. And then out of the sudden, the customer leaves, goes to the competitor, and then we wonder, hey, why did the customer leave? So I would say, well, maybe we haven't spoken with the customer for a while. So the whole customer experience part shouldn't be just about getting the customer to use our products or services, but also really it is a huge process. But starting from the first day we speak with the customer. And then the whole I tend to name it also the customer lifecycle. It's not just about product lifecycle, because we discuss a lot about product lifecycle innovation, but we forget that a customer also has a certain lifecycle. So how can you make sure that the customer doesn't stay with you just for a couple of months, but maybe for 5, 10 years? And customer experience plays a huge role there. And the innovation should also be directed towards customer experience, not just focusing on the products we have, but we have customers that are very valuable, and the customers who have been with you as a company for years are having a value that you can't even estimate in words or in figures.
Definitely, definitely. And your customers, they don't just freeze in place. They're not like captured in amber as soon as they become your customers. Like, their needs and priorities can change over time. So you need to keep track of that. Like, you can't just treat it as a given, as you said, when they become a customer. Their needs and their priorities might change, and you need to adapt how you interact with those customers over time as well. Is that something that AI, the metaverse, is going to help with, keeping track of customer expectations, seeing how they evolve over time, that kind of thing?
What is interesting, you mentioned, of course, the customer expectations that tend to evolve. They do evolve because today you have access to huge amount of information. So, but most of the time, customers know things even better than we as a software service provider know. So our customers just would come towards us, say, hey, do you have a ChatGPT implementing your software? Then you look at them like very surprised. Oh, ChatGPT, okay. And then it would be like the worst thing that could happen is then saying, I've never heard about it. And most of the time, the customer knows very well. So even when it comes to AI, some customers are very visionary. So because they use our products, so they, and especially those customers who have been with us for years, they can tell you very well where the weaknesses or the strengths of the product. And the customer, as you mentioned, the expectations evolve. So from one day to another, they might say, yeah, maybe having AI in our solution would be interesting because then it could help us automating several tasks. Why don't we have this solution? Why don't you have implemented this new technology that I have read? I don't know from a Forbes article, for example. So keeping up with the customer expectations is not easy, to be honest, because the customer, as I mentioned, has access to a huge amount of information. So the customer is very well educated. So it's not our job to educate the customer. But our job as marketers, but or as a customer experience specialist, would be to keeping up with the level that the customer already has achieved, and of course the new technology would help us a lot because if you just look at the metaverse, for example, what can the metaverse do? So what is the fact is right now we're just talking a lot about the metaverse. So we were still lacking specific use cases. So many companies are trying to set up the metaverse to implement it in their processes when it comes to customer experience, but also to customer relationship. But the main question still is okay, how exactly can we really use the metaverse? So for years it was already a huge innovation to have chatbots. Mm-hmm. So when you go to a website, you have a kind of bot that speaks with you, and now we're at a point where I would say we really want to get the metaverse running in every company or in our companies, but still the use cases are still missing. So what we can do is now to have those visions, say, hey, maybe we can use the metaverse for something. I had the idea of, for example, when it comes to the automotive sector and you want to buy a car. So why do you have to go to the centers where they sell the cars? So you could maybe just stay at home, getting, I don't know, your virtual reality glasses, and then see the car by yourself from sitting really comfortably at home. So this may be one way of implementing the metaverse. And then at the same time, when it also comes to customer support is quite cold these days. So it is when you have an issue with a certain software, for example, or whatsoever, then you would have to call. And then when it comes to the big companies, like for example Microsoft, you call there or you write a message, and you might get a reply from somewhere else in the world. So it might be someone sitting in Australia, someone in India and Pakistan. You don't know. So someone replies you. And this is maybe something we could do make better with a metaverse. So really having the feeling you're really speaking with someone. So when during COVID we got used to the tools of Zoom, Microsoft Teams, or Google Meets, and then we've learned that it feels quite personal to speak with you, to speak with me, and doing everything virtually. So it has become something very common. And now now of course the question remains, okay, the metaverse, how can the metaverse help us? And if you just look at what we have right now, we will just see some interesting graphics. So I would tend to say not very high quality graphics. And but then you would say the metaverse may be related to the gaming sector. So people, it looks very much like a video game, but how can we implement it into customer experience? There's of course a huge potential there. Something in the metaverse, but I'm really missing those specific use cases. Those examples that you can use use as kind of an inspiration, and but this is simply missing when it comes to the metaverse. And so same also goes with AI. But I would also say AI, there's maybe much more use cases that we can all that we have already implemented in, and ChatGPT is of course a topic everybody's now talking about, but it's a great example to see what AI could do, so yeah, but that's what I would say.
Definitely, and I think you raise an interesting point about the lack of use cases for the metaverse, and particularly like the VR applications there. I really like the idea of, like, you're already seeing a lot of people buying cars and stuff just using apps. Like, they're not even going to showrooms and stuff. But having that VR sensation where you can actually see the car beforehand, like, that's an extra level. That's an extra level of trust that you can build with the brands. It's an extra level of just that wow factor that might be missing from just browsing on an app for a car and stuff like that. You were already seeing applications like this, well, similar things with altered and or augmented reality. Like, you see stuff with, like, people planning out where bits of machinery go into factories and stuff using that. You see it with like clothing brands and stuff, being able to try on different outfits virtually, that kind of thing. But it'd be very interesting to see that taken to the next level with sort of a VR experience. Like, imagine you're building a factory or something like that, where you want to see your full network mapped out if you're adding a new piece of software. Imagine being able to walk through that experience. That's an amazing customer experience that you just can't have in any other way without the metaverse, without these kind of VR applications.
But another example that was just discussing yesterday is when you want to buy furniture for your house, for right now you just go there, you just check, okay, would a big furniture suit to this place or not? And with the metaverse, maybe you would see your house, you would see your living room, and then set up with those new furnitures. So that would be an amazing customer experience as well, because when you want to buy a furniture, in the first step, you just have to imagine. So you say, okay, well, this will be okay. This bed will maybe suit the room for the children, or maybe it doesn't, and you never know. And then once the product arrives, then you realize, okay, when you were in the showrooms, maybe the furniture look better. And so, I mean, as you mentioned, there's a huge potential, a lot of things we could do thanks to the metaverse, of course.
Yeah, it's almost like the combination between the sort of tactile sensory experience of sort of physical person-to-person interactions, which are fallen a little bit by the wayside, but then the convenience of being able to do it in your own home as well. And I think that's a very, very powerful thing. I think convenience plus this tactile, almost, yeah, sensory experience is going to be very, very powerful in terms of getting customers engaged and excited about your product.
And convenience becomes also important when you consider the fact that due to the globalization, we tend to make our researches, but really not only a specific country, but we just go to the internet, Google something, and then I don't know, write down I want to buy, I don't know, new glasses, for example, and then you would see the results coming in from countries, I don't know, maybe in Spain, Italy, and you're based maybe in the UK, and then for you, it I mean, we still today we have the mindset that that whatever we want to, we should be able to get it. So it doesn't matter if it is in a store just close to our house, or in a store maybe away a thousand of kilometers away from us. And so this feeling already exists, because nowadays you can order from literally everywhere. So you can get your orders from China as good as you can your orders from the USA, but also from Central Europe. So with the metaverse, we would get something that has to come somehow. So I think somehow everybody is expecting something that is like this, and even without having a specific idea about it. But I would even tend to say customers want it already, and we as marketers or as customer experience specialists, we have to keep up with those customer expectations. I mean, and when you further speak about customer expectations, when it comes to the support part, for example, a customer nowadays would go to the website and then expect that there's at least a chat function. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to write emails. Nobody wants to call you, and then finding themselves being told, "Hey, you have to wait, I don't know, for 10 minutes because the other customers wait." So you would go immediately to the chat function and say, "Hey, I need this and that." Or can I order here this product with you? So keeping up with customer expectations is for me, like, I would say it's maybe the biggest challenge when it comes to customer experience. How can we be as good as our customers want us to be?
Then I suppose just to play devil's advocate a little bit here, I suppose the thing with AI is that it's all on a business or a brand's implementation. Like, there's nothing that the customer needs to do or have to be able to interact with a chatbot, for example. Well, they need a computer or a smartphone, of course. But with the metaverse, that you do kind of need quite expensive equipment to be able to access VR still. Like, there is kind of like a barrier to entry for the vast majority of the public out there. So is that maybe a reason why we're not seeing more metaverse use cases out there, just because there's not enough of an audience base out there?
It is not just about the equipment itself. So it's also the main issue with the metaverse, in my opinion, also the whole privacy, the cybersecurity problems. So these risks are coming in, and they do already exist, these risks. So once you enter this metaverse, well, what will happen to your data? Because you would somehow sign up there, and then it's still, I mean, even though everybody is or many people saying, hey, we're getting into Web 3 and it will be all safer, decentralized networks, but customers or generally private persons, you would be very careful, because it is a new technology. The new technology, you would find yourself in this metaverse, so a whole new universe, and then without really knowing what will happen to my data, and with what kind of people will I have to deal with. So that's a huge part. I would say technology is one thing, but also when it comes to the whole risk management part. So that's something that many people would make afraid of this new technology.
Definitely. Yeah, I didn't even consider the data privacy side of things. How do we get over these kinds of barriers then? Do we just have to wait for cheaper VR technology to be available in the market? And do we have to spend a lot of time doing some education on our side of things to sort of explain, yeah, the risk management side of things to the metaverse as well, before we can actually see it properly being rolled out as a mass market channel or platform, or however you want to define it?
In my opinion, a challenge I see when it comes to the risk management part, or the managing those specific risks, what we see right now is that those who have the metaverse in their hands are the big players. So Microsoft has already invested in, and the Facebook has Facebook who even renamed the whole company name into Meta. So We're seeing new technology coming in, new potential coming in, and then the same people are working on it. So we've experienced, I think the whole world knows about it. So the whole world has had huge problems with Facebook when it comes to the data privacy. Mm-hmm. And then Facebook tells you, hey, we've launched the metaverse. Mm-hmm. So that's very difficult. I mean, having someone with a background, with a specific background, telling you, I can provide you with a new technology. It is very much, I mean, maybe a tough comparison. But when you have a criminal who's been in the prison for years, comes out and then tells you can trust me, so it is very difficult for this person to gain your trust. And what I'm really seeing is what I also consider quite sad is when you see very interesting startups coming in, they provide with new technology. Most of the time, they end up getting bought or getting taken over by those big players, because they have those financial resources. It's also something we've already seen with ChatGPT. ChatGPT has been introduced by a very visionary and innovative company leader. But then when you hear Microsoft has invested into ChatGPT for having 49% of the stake. Elon Musk is apparently also part of this. So you would see that the big players are still somehow present there. So this makes it difficult. So it is, I mean, you have on the one side you have the technology barrier, then on the other side it is just a huge challenge when it comes to trust. And as I mentioned before, customers these days are very well informed. So a customer would straight go to. So would straight make a research trying to find out, okay, well, what is this company? What do they do? Who's behind the company? And then if there's something that the company doesn't trust, or even if it be just one single sentence, one single word in a certain sentence that you have written in your product description, then you would immediately use this potential customer. So that's a big problem.
Definitely. And it's, is there a way out of that problem then? Is it are we just going to have to get over the fact it's the same old players involved in this situation, or do you know of any new startups that are on the horizon developing interesting stuff who aren't likely to get bought up? Like, what is the future looking like in terms of how things can develop?
Interestingly, I see a very important role or duty for marketers these days to educate those interested customers. So what exactly do you offer, and is it safe? And if it's safe, how can we prove to the customer that what we offer is safe for them and that they can trust it? So it is a certain degree a duty for us marketers to educate those customers well, to inform them very well, and then at the same time, of course, also to support the whole startup ecosystem. I mean, this is one of the reasons why I myself am very engaged when it comes to startups. So we try to mentor them and to advise them, and then to support them. So just with the idea of showing, hey, you can also grow without really having to be taken over by a big player, for example. Because I think the future should be in a way that we are less dependent on those big players. But right now there's one search engine, which is Google. So most of the time it's Google. Of course there are others, Bing and the likes. But we would still straight go to Google, even if we have a difficulty in trusting Google maybe, but we would still have to go to Google because Google has that dominance. Same goes to Microsoft. Nowadays it's impossible to have a computer without a Microsoft environment. So you would have to have Outlook, the whole office setups, so Word, PowerPoint, or whatever it is. So the future is then, I mean, it's not something we can just predict. I hope that there's a way out of this lock-in situation we are in. So we depend on those big players, even though we complain about them, or we say, hey, well, the big players are not doing things as we would prefer. But still, it's still difficult. But I mean, when I look, of course, what is happening when it comes to AI, to the metaverse, what I'm seeing is that those who are really pushing those developments are the end, those small startups, the innovative startups. And I really hope that those startups can somehow grow. So without really depending on the big players.
Let's hope so. Let's hope that the new technology is sort of a leveling of the playing field rather than it just giving more advantages to the big players. I mean, that is what Web 3.0 or Web 4.0, whatever you want to call it, was originally developed before it turned into this idea of the metaverse, was to try and take the power away from the big players like Google and share it a bit more evenly across the board. And I'm not saying we're all going to stop using Google in the metaverse. I'm sure it's still, that will have a presence there. But the aim of the game at the end of the day is to try and, yeah, make the internet more accessible for people. At least that's from my perspective. So absolutely. I don't know if you've thought, yeah. Not gone, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, what is also interesting is that those big players are also investing themselves there. So for example, when you just look at big brands, when you go look at Nike or Adidas, the likes of them, they already have an NFT collection, for example. Mm-hmm. So somehow, what is good on the one side is that those big players are also considering these technologies as crucial for the future. So maybe what we'll see then in a future where even the big players will say, okay, we should maybe do our certain efforts to make people less dependent on us because of customers expected, for example. So it is always up to the question is how can we meet those expectations, of course. And I think the big players are very well aware about it.
For sure. And also they have large amounts of resources they can take gambles and invest money into these kinds of things. Like Microsoft spending $1 billion on a metaverse project, that's a drop in the bucket to their total revenue. They can afford to spend that amount of money on it. Startups, smaller businesses, it's a much more of a gamble to start investing in this technology right now. What advice do you have for smaller companies that are thinking about dabbling in the metaverse or thinking about looking into more AI applications that might be quite expensive to bring into their company? Like, how would you advise them to approach this kind of new environment that's evolving around how we approach our customer experiences?
My advice would be really to highlight the or to put their efforts in being part of an ecosystem or developing an ecosystem. Also, the whole thinking of a community. So this is why we're not speaking together, because the CMO Alliance is a community for marketers. And for startups, it is important to not to forget that they can be part of an ecosystem. They are not the only startup in the world, but there are also other startups, other small companies. And if they somehow manage to work together in a way, it can be what we call a competition. So working together in a certain field, but competing in another field. But this would be also very, very helpful, because within those ecosystems, within those communities, they could still find some large investors, I would say. So without really having to depend on or be the big players. So, I mean, I'm not against the big players. I myself use them a lot, or use their products a lot. But for me, if I just look at the customer side, it is important to be able to choose between several good products. So not having to immediately choose a certain product because we feel this product is like the only good product. So in my opinion, there are many, many, many good products out there, many good services out there. And it's of course a question of brand, because those big players, they are very present because they've worked a lot on their brand. So when you hear Microsoft, you know what Microsoft is about immediately. When you hear Google, the same thing. The Nikes, the others, all the likes of them. So you immediately know that. So startups, if they manage to really also develop their brand, so that would be helpful. ChatGPT, again, good example, very came out of nowhere and everybody's talking about it, because they chose the right marketing strategy. Saying, for example, 10,000 people use it and they say, sorry, limit, we've reached the limits, so you have to wait. So everybody was like very hungry, like everybody was feeling the kind of hunger, saying, hey, I have to use it because I'm not allowed right now because others are using it. So there are interesting marketing strategies, and those small companies, they should do it. So I mean, I say marketing is not just about investing a lot in, but it's also sometimes just about communities. So you're using these communities because you, for example, will have you have your own network. I have my own network. So if I have a small company, I share it with you. You will share with your community. Your community shares with their communities. So this is also a way of starting, like, without investing too much on something you can't really predict when it comes to success or not.
Definitely. And in terms of predictions as well, I was going to ask you about your predictions for new use cases emerging in AI, but you raised a good point with ChatGPT. It did pretty much come out of nowhere. Like, if you'd asked me a year ago as a copywriter, would people be having serious conversations about AI writing all their content strategy? I would have said no. And fast forward to December last year, and ChatGPT just explodes, and now there are very serious conversations being had about how AI could basically run an entire content strategy. So who knows what's going to happen in the coming months. But as a CMO, as you said, as a marketing leader, or just as a brand as a whole, you need to be aware of these emerging technologies. You need to be, because your customers, as you said, are aware of them. So in terms of staying aware of these new developments, where do you go to keep track of things? Do you have advice on how CMOs or marketing leaders can try and stay ahead of the curve of these new technologies evolving?
So for me, the first thing we do is, of course, knowing about these technologies is the very first step. Knowing that those technologies are out there, and then in the second step, understanding how can I use them. So how can they help me? So I really always like to really put emphasis on the word help, but not really replace. Because when we hear AI, when you hear for example those chatbots, we might say, okay, maybe they will replace us. Because once we start believing that they might replace us, we will immediately refuse using those technologies. And I always I'm someone who likes to say technology is there to assist us. So you as a copywriter, I'm 100% sure AI will never be able to replace you.
I hope so.
You hope so, because simply because AI right now, I would say, is not able to have this certain degree of creativity or empathy is totally missing there. But AI is very important because it can help you, it can assist you. And for example, a very use case I can imagine is when it comes to AI, you want to write an article. Right now, most of the time, you have to do the research yourself. But if AI can maybe just bring together the top 20 articles on a certain topic that you want to write, then you have already saved hours of work. So this is what I'm seeing. So when it comes to technology, especially for marketers, the mindset should be, how can this technology assist me, but not how can it replace me, or what will it replace me?
Definitely. I think it's a great note to end on there. Yeah, thank you very much for joining me today. As I said at the top of the episode, this is a topic of conversation that it's been kicking around for a while. I think it's going to keep going as well, this discussion about new technologies, the metaverse and AI. But I hope today has been enlightening for our audience. It's certainly enlightened me about certain use cases, certain applications for these new technologies. So I'm sure you found it useful as well. Thank you very much for joining me today, Yaya. It's been really interesting.
My pleasure, Will.
And thank you very much to our audience. We'll be back soon with some more CMO combos.
Like what you heard from this CMO combo? Make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave a rating so the whole world knows how great it was.